Our theme for the year is for the furtherance of the gospel, and we're going to be looking at a lot of different things when it centers around the gospel, especially in our Sunday morning services. And this morning, I was interested in trying to accomplish all three of these verses, but I don't think it's going to work that way. We're going to have to break them up a little bit here in Romans chapter 1. And just some simple thoughts this morning in Romans chapter number 1. We're going to start in verse number 14. We have the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the believers that are in Rome. And in verse number 14 is where we're going to focus at this morning. But we're not going to stay here very long. We're going to look at another story to try to help us understand what he's talking about when he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then verse 16 is probably the most famous of the text. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you help us today, each one of us, as we leave here today, number one, to make sure that we're right with you, make sure that we know that we're saved and on our way to heaven. And I, Lord, with this many people, there's probably a good chance there's a few people that have never repented of their sins and called out to you in faith, believing and trusting what Jesus did on the cross. But Lord, for those that today would say, I'm a believer, I'm on my way to heaven, Lord, as we leave this place today, that we would have a greater burden to want to tell people about Jesus Christ. Lord, no matter what that burden was when we came in, Lord, that you would continue to increase it and that you would continue to place an emphasis on our hearts about the gospel and spreading it. And Lord, as is the case many times in a believer's life, we've grown cold and indifferent to telling other people. That Lord, if there's people here this morning that don't feel comfortable or don't think it's their responsibility, that Lord, that you would burden their heart about considering what the scripture says and seeing what we've been saved from and saved to. Lord, help us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you look in verses 14, 15, and 16, if I was going to have an outline and for all the verses, I would have said in verse 14, I am debtor. Verse 15, it says, I am ready. And verse 16, I am not ashamed. So in the next week and possibly in the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at the thoughts, I am ready. And then verse 16, I am not ashamed. And then we're going to tie it all together with the idea of the power of God unto salvation. But this morning, instead of trying to make one very long message out of it, we're going to make one specific pointed message to this thought. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. You say, Pastor, what does he mean that he's a debtor? Most of us would understand what the word debt is. Most of us understand at some point in time, we've probably been in some type of debt financially. He's not talking about being in debt to buying things from the Greeks and buying shoes, buying ties, he's not talking about that. He's talking about how God had done such a work in his mind and such a work in his heart. Paul was faithful to the obligations of the gospel. Now, are we in debt to Christ? Of course we are. What he's done for us, I mean, we could never pay back what he's done. We can't pay back. It's not, our salvation is not about us paying it back. And then we also think about people say, well, I'm indebted to this individual. If someone comes to your mind that maybe led you to Christ, or maybe someone who's taught you, or maybe a church or different things like that, I'm indebted to that person because of the fact of everything they taught me and showed me in the scriptures. And under their ministry, maybe I was saved. Under their ministry, maybe I was baptized. Under their ministry, maybe I was a disciple. And we even think about people I grew up with and people who were a blessing to me and who invested in my life. And I'm indebted to them for the work that they did and all those different things that helped mold and make my Christian life and to wanting to serve God with all my heart and all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. And so there are people, when we think about that, indebted to a church and the idea that it's a place that we can worship. And you think about it, all these different things that happen, all the different things that are around us, Christ. People do that, whether it's cleaning the buildings or the bulletins or whatever, all those different things. We all have certain parts, and we're, you know, we're thankful for all the people who serve. And in a way, we're indebted to them for what they've done to us and for us. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul's looking to a group of people that do not believe, that do not trust, and he feels indebted to share the gospel with the lost. We should also have a compassion that want to show us that we, as we serve the Lord, we want to serve him with this thought that we want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is an obligation we have to share the message. And I think that's what Paul's talking about here. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians and both to the wise and the unwise. He goes to the whole different spectrums and he says, I'm indebted to all of them because I want and need to share the gospel with them. Now, to tell this story, I want to look at another story. It's an Old Testament story, because that might sound kind of weird or goofy to you. But in 2 Kings chapter number 7, there's a story that I enjoy. I don't think I've ever told it on a Sunday morning. I've told it on Sunday evening before, preached through it before. But in 2 Kings chapter number 7, let's go ahead and take our Bibles there, because we're going to be there for a portion of the message. 2 Kings chapter number 7. 2 Kings is in the Old Testament. It's after 1 Kings. It's before 1 Chronicles. There you go. But in 2 Kings chapter number 7, it talks about a story where there's four lepers, and you're going to see what this idea that how they feel indebted to tell somebody something. See, Paul's life had been so changed by the power of the gospel, his life was radically changed, yet he was in debt to share this with the world. And that's what I want us to kind of take it and kind of process through our hearts and process through our minds. We should want to tell this gospel message to others. I had a man I respected a lot, a man who pastored a really, really big church. And he said, he was trying to encourage me, because I asked him, how do we get more people engaged in wanting to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ? And he told me this. He focuses on a small group inside the church. He trains them to be soul winners, and he encourages them. He goes to their soul winning meetings. He said, but to tell the whole church all the time about it, sometimes people get tired of hearing it. And I respect the man a lot, but I said, then you're only giving a portion of the gospel to people. You're only telling certain people, hey, you don't have to tell people about Jesus Christ. But the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible tells us that we should all go and preach and teach the gospel. And so for me to say, okay, there's a small group of believers that are excited about telling others and focusing on them, maybe preaching on messages in Sunday school or Wednesday night when there's not as many people trying to get their attention, I think you missed something then. We should all have a desire. And when we go through this year, I know some are going to get tired for the furtherance of the gospel, And we ask this question, hey, look, we didn't put out there a lot of things to do last week, but throughout the year, we're going to give certain things throughout the week to encourage everybody to do. We didn't do that last week. And the reason why is because what did you do last week for the furtherance of the gospel? Was there one that you told? Was there one track that you gave? And so, because it's easy to let it slip by, it's easy to go and keep on going and get so busy that we say, yes, it's scriptural. Yes, we agree with Paul. I'm a debtor. I need to tell the people. I need to tell people around me. But did we really do anything last week for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Was it something that we just sat quietly and did not do one thing? And so that's the idea throughout the year. Throughout the year, we're going to give you gets little challenges, I guess. And this, at the end of this message, we're going to give you a little challenge. And the reason is because we want to further the gospel. It's not just something we want to keep to ourselves. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Look, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. He goes to all the different spectrums, to the wise, the unwise, to the Greeks that would have been known for being just very devout people, very distinguished people, to barbarians that are not as known, well known for the things. You know, he says from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum, I'm ready to preach the gospel. And that's what the title of the message is, as much as it is in me. It's there. And he's saying as much as is in me. He says, I'm ready. I want to do this. But how do we get ready? First, we have to have the right mindset. First, we have to understand, before we're going to be ready to preach the gospel, we understand we have something, and it'd be wrong for us not to give it to others. Is it wrong? Well, let's hear. I think the story of 2 Kings, it involves four lepers, and it's kind of a fun story in some ways. And 2 Kings chapter number 7, let's go ahead and start in verse number 3. 2 Kings chapter number 7, verse number 3. So if the city of Samaria is surrounded by the Syrian forces, they've been led by King Ben-Hadad, and at the same time, they've caused a great famine to happen inside the city. I mean, this famine is so bad that things are happening to where they're selling things. I'm in 1 Kings, not 2 Kings. Didn't you listen? 2 Kings, right? I'm sitting there looking for my verses, and I says, it's not there. 2 Kings chapter number 7, it says in verse number 3, and there were four leper men at the entering in the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? So what happened is there's such a great famine inside the city. I mean, there is extremely ugly things, if you can tell, about that happened in famine. Go back to chapter number 6, you can get see what it says here in chapter number 6 in verse 25. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. Now imagine that, a donkey's head. You know, they're looking for food. There's not much meat on that. It's selling for 80 pieces of silver. And he said, that's kind of crude, Pastor. Well, the next part I won't explain is a little cruder. And the fourth part of a cap of a dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help, my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. Wow. I mean, this is how bad the famine is. Dove's dung, donkey's heads, and then someone actually being a cannibal eating a child. Let's keep on going. And it's showing you a picture of what it looks like during that day. So we boiled my son in verse 29 and did eat him, and said unto her, on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. So she didn't own up to her end of the bargain. Look, it says in verse number 30, and it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Let's go down now to verse number 1. Elisha is the prophet during this time. In chapter number 7, verse number 1, and Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. So he's saying, he's prophesying. He's saying, hey, look, tomorrow this is all going to change. No more eating the children, no more eating the donkey's head, no more eating the dove's dung. It's all changing. Verse number 2, it says, then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered a man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And behold, thou shalt see it with thine own eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. So there's somebody who mocking said, there's even God open up the windows, that can't happen. Elisha says, look, you're going to see with your own eyes, but you're not going to get to eat of it. So with that type of circumstance, we see in this story, there's a city that's suffering a great famine because there's a great army that has surrounded the city. They're not letting anyone go in, not letting anybody go out, not getting any resources. They stopped up the water supply. They are hungry to the point that they're eating things that are just disgusting, even resorting to cannibalism. So what does that have to do with being a debtor? We're going to get there. Chapter 7, look what it says in verse number 3. We have these four leper men. It says, and there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? So they're reasoning it out. Inside these leprous men, and leprosy was a horrible disease. They had to be out on the outcast of society. They were not allowed to be in the cities. They were not allowed to be around people. They would have to yell unclean, unclean, especially around the Jews and the Jewish culture. And they're there and they're sitting in the gate and they're looking at one another. Obviously, if the people in the city haven't gotten any food, they haven't gotten any food. And they said, why are we sitting here until we die? And this was the reasoning. We can't go in the city because there's no food there. So why don't we go to the Syrian army and ask them for food? If they look at us and kill us, who cares? We're going to die pretty soon anyway, but maybe they'll show some mercy to us. Look what it said in verse number 4. And this is the reasoning. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. So we see they're in a tough spot. So they said, we can't stay here. We're dying. We can't go to the city. They're dying in there. Let's go to the Syrian army. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. You would think normally if there's a great battle there, going a great army of soldiers, there's people standing watch. And so when they're saying they're walking up to where they're at, there's nobody there. Verse number 4. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said to one another, lo, the king of Israel have hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. So the story is saying here that God caused this army to hear this. And it's amazing. It's a miracle. It's the only the thing that God can do. And he says that he worried and scared this army so much that they got up and they left. They just went out and they ran away because they were afraid of the Hittites and the Egyptians that they thought the king had hired. So what does that have to do with being a debtor? Here we go. It's getting closer. And it says in verse number 8, and when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. So you picture this. They haven't eaten. They're starving to death, just like the people in the city are. They go up there and they're expecting to see this great army and they're hoping that maybe it'll just throw them some scraps to get them to go away. But when they walk into this great, all these tents, they see nobody's there. So they peek into the first tent. There's dinner sitting right there. And not only is there dinner, this says there's silver, there's gold, there's raiment. They go and they feast on it. And they carry the silver and the gold and they put it away. They hide it. They go to the next tent. Guess what? They're eating some more. They're getting more silver, more gold. And they realize, wow, this is wonderful. What a great bounty we have. Look at the next response here. And it said in verse number 9, then they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. So one of them, or maybe all of them, they start feeling guilty. They start thinking, while they're maybe eating their chicken leg or whatever it is they got in their mouth, maybe they're thinking, we're sitting here and we're feasting. We've already eaten at one tent. We already walked away with silver. We already walked away with gold. We already walked away with raiment. Coming into another tent and we're eating here, but a very short distance away, there's a city. And inside that city, there's people that are eating dove's dung, they're eating donkey's heads, and they're being cannibals because they have no food. And so in their mind, if we don't tell them, it would be wrong. They were indebted because of how much they had to tell the other people. It would have been wrong for them to sit there and keep on eating when people are over here eating their children and they're eating other things and they're paying 80 pieces of silver. In verse number 1, they're saying you're going to one shekel, which is a very, very small amount compared to pieces of silver. They're going to be able to buy more with one shekel that day. So they're there. And I think we would all agree. I think we would all come to that reasoning. Yes, if there's food sitting right here, not far away, and over there, there is a city that's filled with people that are dying of starvation and they're crying out to the king and maybe crying out to God, but just sitting a short distance away, there is tent upon tent upon tent that has food enough to feed the whole city. Not only that, they have freedom that's available to them and they don't even realize it. The freedom is sitting there. There's no one there that's locking them up anyway. There's no one there making sure they stay in anymore. There's no one there to stop up the water anymore, to stop them from going out and getting their needs. Now, I think we would all agree that it would be wrong for the lepers to just sit there and say, look, they didn't care about us. They wouldn't give us anything. Why in the world should I go tell them? We would think that would be wrong. We would think they have a obligation to go and tell the king, to go and tell the people. And that's the tie-in that goes in with the gospel. Just as physically there is a need there for these people that are starving, these people that are struggling, these people that are indebted, these people that are in bondage, these people that are being taken by the enemy, as physically that way, we as believers, as a church, as individuals, have the gospel of Jesus Christ that can spiritually save people from going to hell. And we do, as it says here, and make sure I get it exactly right. It says in verse number 9, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. We do not do well because this is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we will hold our peace and not tell a lost and dying world about the need they have, which is Jesus Christ, we do not well. That's where Paul is saying, I feel indebted. I'm a debtor to people. And once again, these are groups of people. Some of them, maybe he's never met. Obviously, he's met wise and unwise. But he's talking about the whole gauntlet of people that are there. And he's saying, look, I'm indebted. I have a responsibility. There is something that it would be wrong for me to stay. The world today is in a similar place spiritually. They're starving. The devil wants to keep men from getting what will really satisfy them spiritually. He dangles things in front of them that look good, but there's really no substance to it. And keep in mind, the Samaritans, they're starving to death. And these lepers are there and they're feasting and they're feasting and they're feasting. And so many times, believers are living in a way that is a good life. And they're feasting on the word of God. And they're coming to church and getting blessed. And they're having the spiritual blessings in their life. But we do not well when we stay here and we're silent. We don't like to think about it that way. We like to think, oh, they'll hear it some other way. They'll figure it out some way. But those lepers there, and as the story goes along, as you hear in verse number 10, so they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians. Drop down to verse number 12. And the king arose at night and said unto his servants, I will now show what the Syrians have done. He's saying that the Syrians had done this. They'd gotten these four lepers together, and they didn't want to believe him. But verse 13, they're so desperate, and one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses. And they go, and what happens? They go out and they find all the things that have happened. They find exactly what the lepers have said. And it says in verse 16, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned on. Remember from verse number 2. And he leaned to have charge of the gate, and the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. So I don't know, when I was studying and considering this story in Romans chapter number 1 and thinking about verse number 16 and verse number 14 being a debtor, I'm thinking, how in the world could you apply that to get that in our hearts and minds? These lepers had so much, and they had plenty, and there was people over there that was dying, and they were struggling. And they were starving to death, but everything they needed was sitting right there. All the lepers had to do was go and tell them that, hey, look, there's food over there. And that's all we should do or need to do is go and look. Hey, look, there's a God who loves you. Look, there's a God who sent his son to die on the cross for you. We're indebted to tell people. We wouldn't want to be like those lepers and say, oh, they can figure it out for themselves. They can go ahead and die. They don't care about me. No, we do not well. And I love that thought, if we tarry till the morning. We do not well when we hold our peace. So I want to encourage you today, and as we go and consider this, we're not doing the right thing when we don't tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's a harsh thing for some people to hear, because we've put in their heart and their mind, it's not my job, it's not my responsibility. But that's not found anywhere in the Bible. The Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We all have an obligation. We are all, in a sense, a debtor. And there's some people here would never have any debt. They would make sure that they're paying off everything every month. They would be, hey, I'm never going to owe anybody anything. I understand that. But spiritually, because of how much we've been given, how much we have, let's ask God to speak to our hearts about sharing that with others. Because you see, these lepers, they would have been wrong to guess day by day, keep on eating the food and never telling somebody. There was a great need. that day for the city of Samaria. I tell you, there is a great need for the people of Elizabeth City and Hertford, the people in Camden, the people in South Mills, people in Belvedere. All around us, there's a great need, and they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we do not well when we don't tell them. And I began thinking about how else to kind of close up the message, and I thought, let's consider something, not only that what we've been given when we're saved, but think about what we've been saved from. When you think about what it says here in verse number 9, that this is a day of good tidings. When there's good news, people don't mind saying it. When there's a baby that's born, you know, it's, hey, the baby was born, you know, the baby, how much did the baby weigh, how much this and that, that people like to share that. They get excited about it. They want to post it on Facebook. They want to do all these things. They want to, if there's good tidings out there, and I'm telling you, what we have is good tidings. Say, Pastor, it's, yeah, it's great, it's wonderful, but really, is it that great? It is. So think about with me for a moment. Help us understand how much we are indebted is by maybe considering what we've been saved from. And maybe let's consider the place called hell for a few minutes. I'm not going there. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says I'm never going to experience it. I'm never going to be a part of it. You know, but the hell is a real literal place. William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, used to say he wished he could take all his workers and dangle them over hell for 60 seconds. So they could get a glimpse of what they've been saved from. He wishes that he could just, that even, I'm sure he for himself would wish that, because our lives would be changed if we would experience that. But I'm telling you, our lives can be changed just reading the Bible, by understanding what the Bible talks about with hell and everlasting, the everlasting fire, the everlasting darkness, and all those other things. So think for a few moments about hell. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Luke. Luke chapter 16. And we're not going to spend a whole time on this message, but there's a couple of things I think that once we see this, we'll understand a little bit better what we've been saved from and why it would be wrong for us to keep it to ourselves. Luke chapter 16, look what it says in verse 23. Actually, we'll start in verse 22. Came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. This is a story. I don't believe it's a parable because it includes Lazarus' name. But at the same time, it's there. He was a beggar and there was a rich man. Lazarus, the beggar, dies. It's carried into the angel by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and see if Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. A couple of things I want you to see about this real place called hell is, number one, it's a place of torment. It's a place of torment. Sometimes people think, hey, I've heard people tell me, at least when I was growing up, I heard people use this as illustrations all the time. Me and my friends, we're going to go, we're going to crack hell wide open. We're going to have a party down there. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. I don't hear that as much today because people don't interact as much with you. But we're going to go do this. It's a place of torment. It's a place of complete darkness, but also a place of fervent heat. Now, God's the only one that can do that, and I know that there's some explanations behind that, but that's not the point of the whole message. But you think about it, it's also a place of memories, too. You see here that he's speaking to Lazarus, and even in verse number 30 and 31, this man goes and he asks that in verse 28, for I have five brethren that it might testify unto them, lest they also, he remembers what's going on. He remembers the five brethren that are left behind. So if you consider hell being a place of torment, a place of complete darkness, a place of just horrendous pain and suffering for all of eternity, we're not talking about for a few days, for all of eternity with the memory that has, and I believe it will be the memory that you hear, that if you ever heard the gospel, I think you'll be reminded of that. What torment that would be. Say, Pastor, what does that have to do with the message? We're not going there. If you're a Christian and you're on your way to heaven, you're never going to experience that. But there is a whole world full of people that are. So would it not be wrong for us to remain silent? We do not well when we stay silent. So as we consider in these Romans chapter 1, 14 through 16, with this thought, I'm a debtor, I am ready. I don't think we're really going to truly be ready till we allow God to affect our hearts with this thought. There's people that are dying and going to a horrible place called hell, and they're never going to get out of it. This was written how many thousands of years ago, a few thousand years ago. And this person has been there these few thousand years and continuing there. We do not well if we know how to help that person not go there, and we stay silent. So when we talk about for the furtherance of the gospel, is it really asking that much to say, God, what is it you want me to do this week when I to further the gospel? Is it really asking too much to invite someone to a ladies meeting that maybe they'll get the chance to hear the gospel? Is it really asking too much to hand out a gospel tract? You say, well, they don't want it. They don't. Once again, we do not well when we hold our peace. So this morning, I know it's in preparation for the rest of the sermons, but in all reality, it boils down to this. When we stay silent, when we hold our peace, as it says in 2 Kings 7, we don't do well. And if there's someone here today that says, Pastor, I'm not saved, I'm not on my way to heaven, you have something to be fearful of. No one is promised tomorrow. And once again, I think you should be led by the Spirit of God. I think you should, the way you do things, the way you talk to people, it's the power of God that leads in salvation. It's not you, it's not some type of show. It's not some type of curriculum. It's not, you let the Holy Spirit of God do a work on someone's heart and life, but you need to go, and you need to be a part of it. Cause if we stay silent, we're not doing well. And those people that were suffering in Samaria, that was a struggle. They were dying physically. And the way that they described it was pretty gross, but the way that hell is described in the Bible is even stronger because it lasts forever. So you say, Pastor, you say a challenge this week. So my challenge this week is for you to study at least Luke chapter 16, but study the different spots in the Bible that they talk about the word hell and where people go and spend eternity at, and to give some thought to it. You say, Pastor, don't you want me to pass out some type of gospel? Of course we want you to pass out a gospel tract. Maybe that's next week's challenge. But the only way that we're going to be ready to go is when we have the right heart towards it. We can talk about for the furtherance of the gospel. We can sing about for the furtherance of the gospel. We can have a closing theme song, which we're going to introduce in just a minute. We can have an opening theme song about it. But if our hearts aren't ready to go and we hold our peace, we're not doing the right thing. So today, my encouragement to you is, if you're not right with God, what are you waiting for? If you died today, you're not sure you go to heaven, there is an opportunity. God provided the way. We love to have the Bible, take the Bible and show you. Number two, if you are a believer on your way to heaven, we do not well when we hold our peace. Let's ask God to burden our hearts. Believe me, He wants us to go. He wants to give us opportunity. He gives us opportunity. He wants us to provide ways. But many times we're closed to them. Our heart's grown cold. Has grown hard. If we hold our peace, we do not well. Today, for the furtherance of the gospel, let's study out a little bit this week about these passages. It talks about hell and where people who do not know Christ will end up. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I pray